This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Like, it's so good to have you. Turn to someone next to you and just say hello.
You're not using the anointed one. That's the anointed one.
I thought I was saving the introverts by saying just say hello, and then you said a whole lot of stuff. So all the introverts are still feeling, why do you do this to us every week? I said you must just say hello. Don't ask them questions. They weren't ready for that. The screen is still working. Thank you, Lord. You are so welcome. We are so happy to have you. I hope someone made you feel welcome when you got here. Did you feel welcome when you get here? I'm looking for someone who's... It's going like that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for everyone that took the time to come out today to spend time together as a family. Spend time together in your presence, Lord, to spend time in specifically focusing on what you want to lead us into today. And we are just so thankful, Lord, that we are still alive. Many people that entered your presence, Lord, didn't come out alive. Thank you that we can experience you today, and we can just love being in your presence. Just love being with family. Just love being in unity. Just love the experience of you blessing us and revealing your kind heart and your goodness and your faithfulness and your love to us this morning. Lord, thank you for worship. Thank you for our voices. Thank you for our bodies, Lord. Thank you that we could just enjoy just singing it out, proclaiming so many truths over our lives, Lord. We are just so thankful this morning. Lord, we are looking forward to you revealing to us this morning what specifically is on your heart. And we pray specifically for your help, Holy Spirit, for any distractions, any spirit that wants to interfere. Any thought that wants to run away or that still wants to be at home or still wants to be at work or still wants to be busy with the project or wherever our minds are at, Lord, I thank you that you bring us together and you bring us here and you help us focus. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are the one that's stirring in us this capacity to be focused on what you are busy with, Lord, and we trust you for that this morning. Can you just, there where you are sitting, just say, I trust you, Holy Spirit. We just trust you this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. You can grab yourself a coffee. No, I'm just joking. Sometimes after worship, it kind of feels like that, eh? For some of us, after worship, you feel like that was what I was here for. I felt God, I experienced Him, and now I can go home. But God has something very specifically in store for us this morning, and I want us to get to that. So, we are, as a church, for those especially of you that's new this morning or maybe visiting us, some context to where we are as a church. We are busy being led by God to understand that He is busy building His church. And while He is building His church, He is purifying His church, healing, restoring His church. And as He's doing that, miraculously, He's asking us to be part of that. I often, when I think about that, I get the picture of a small infant trying their parents to do something that they are obviously not able to do. We are obviously not able to build God's kingdom on our own, right? So when we co-labor with him and we are yoked with him, we work with him, it's something that he does. And miraculously, by his grace, he helps us to be part of. So in Scripture, we see in Ephesians 4, verse 14 to 16, we see, so that we may no longer be children, infants, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. Now, this is the interesting part to me, because this is where it becomes very real to us. It says, makes the body grow. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And as I pray into this, I'm just so aware of how poor we are without each other. Especially without each other following Jesus. Because I don't know about you, but I've seen some influences in my life that's not following Jesus, and I'm definitely not poorer without them. In fact, I can do not spending time with them. But especially those that's following Jesus has an impact and an influence in me. It just builds me up in love to such an extent that I'm not the same after I've been with a person like that. Have you experienced that? Have you been someone like that? Have you seen that influence as you follow Jesus, spending time with someone, getting to them, and speaking to them, praying with them, and then afterwards you could see just there's a difference? Did you experience that? Some of us have. It's good news. So Ephesians 4 verse 14 starts off with so that. Whenever you see so that, therefore, because of certain key words, it means it's after something, right? There's something before that. So I'm going to read Ephesians 4 verse 1 to 6 like it happened in my preparation time for a very specific reason. Because I believe that's very part of what God wants to do with us this morning. So it started like this. Me wanting to go back to Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 6, the part that actually explains the so that part. So Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 6 happened like this. I started reading, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And I felt fairly good up to that point, and then I started reading, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, and then something interesting happened. From about verse 3, it sounded like this in my mind. It went, eager to maintain the unity of the spirit of one of these devils once for a testament. Like, and that's exactly how it happened. So I did what I told you to do last time. I went back to the beginning of the scripture and I started reading again. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you, and then it happened a bit sooner. It went like this. Urge you to walk my what's it? And I said, okay, maybe third time's the charm. Because I need to prepare for Sunday. I don't think I'll be able to do that for 30 minutes. I don't think there's going to be a lot of people appreciative of me bumbling a scripture for 30 or 25 minutes. So I started again, and I started with, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk my manner worthy of the calling. And it stopped like that, and I said, okay, Lord, what's happening? Why can't I read this? And God started leading me on a way that was very confronting. And because I want to be honest and transparent with you, I want to speak to you about what happened after that. I experienced the Holy Spirit telling me that I have a condition. The reason why I can't read that scripture is because I have a condition. And I said, Lord, what is the condition? Just to clarify, whenever I say I heard God say or God said to me or whatever, that was my perception of how God speaks to me, okay? It wasn't like I'm now saying this is now, every one of you should do it this way. This is what happened to me, like God was speaking to you this morning. My perception of what God was saying was, the condition is spiritual condition of persistent unresponsiveness to God and His Word, which can rise to the level of rejection and hostility. Apart from divinely granted repentance, this condition can harden to a permanent and unchanging state, leading to condemnation. I want to read that again. It's a spiritual condition of persistent unresponsiveness to God and His Word. Persistent unresponsiveness to God and His Word, which can rise to the level of rejection and hostility. Apart from divinely granted repentance, this condition can harden to a permanent and unchanging state leading to condemnation. And I asked, Lord, what is this? And He said, remember the context. I want you to build my church. I want you to mature as a believer. I want you to lead people to mature in Jesus. I want you to be like Him. I want you to build each other up. But there are certain things that's going to hold you back. There's certain things that's going to trip you up. We spoke about doubtfulness in the past. We spoke about false prophets. We spoke about using your words wisely. And this morning we are speaking about a condition that's going to stop that completely. And we will see soon why. The condition is a hardness and a dullness of heart. I want you to read those words. Just stare at the screen for a moment and just say, Holy Spirit, show me what's going on. The definition for a hardness and a dullness of heart, according to Scripture, is a spiritual condition of persistent unresponsiveness to God and His Word, which can rise to a level of rejection and hostility apart from divinely granted repentance. This condition can harden to a permanent and unchanging state, leading to condemnation. So I don't think necessarily warn you this morning, but I want to prepare you and position you that if what happened to me is going to happen to you this morning, be very sensitive of what you take hold of, what you pick up, and what you run with, what you walk with, because there's a lot of things that happened in me as I read the following pieces of Scripture, because it's hard to hear. It's even hard to perceive that there's a hardness in my heart. Right? Do you look in the mirror and think to yourself, God, will you please show me where my heart is hardened? Not often, eh? We often pray for God's beautiful words, His promises, and many things to happen, and that's very true. But do we recognize the fact that often there's something that can stop that from flowing in my life? A persistent unresponsiveness to God and His Word. So to understand that, I felt, God, let's start with defining the heart. If it's something that happens in the heart, let's speak about the heart. So I Googled heart. And I got a few interesting definitions. The most interesting one, and it helped me to laugh a bit, because apart and between everything that I found, this is quite an interesting one. It said, so this is the Cambridge Dictionary. Okay? It says, the organ in your chest that sends the blood around in your body. Sounds about right. Then you get other parts, definitions of your heart that explains, well, oxygen going there and then getting this there and that there and whatever. But this one to me from an earthly perspective was entertaining. The organ in your chest that sends the blood around in your body. So the concept of your heart, I don't know if you knew this, I didn't know this, occurs approximately 1,000 times in Scripture. Throughout Scripture, you find the heart being spoken of 1,000 times, various different ways. So I thought to myself, okay, Lord, I know that my heart consists of more than that fleshly thing that pumps blood through my body, okay? Some of the definitions was quite interesting. It said, normally on the left half of your chest. Yeah, it's interesting, normally, okay? So then I said, okay, Lord, I know it's about more than that, so what do I do now? So I went to Google and I said, heart, and I scrolled a bit around, and then I found many, many different opinions, and I quickly realized this was not the way to figure out what your heart is about. There's many things being shared there and said there that's very, very confusing. Very confusing. So I thought, let's keep all of that. If it occurs 1,000 times in Scripture, maybe it's best to go to Scripture and let Scripture say what my heart is. Do you agree with that this morning? So in Scripture, you find three hearts mentioned. A physical heart. You see that in 1 Samuel 25. And it's an obvious metaphor as the center. The beginning of where everything flows from. You then get a psychological heart. Your psychological heart debates, it remembers, it reflects. Obviously, given that there's 1,000 verses, I'm not going to go through every one of them this morning for the sake of us not willfully fasting, because it might be a long, long time. Joy, bitterness, lust, sympathy, gentle, lowly, self-deceiving, arrogant. It's the hidden core of being. Then according to Scripture, you find a religious heart. The hidden self, fully known to God. A divine indwelling. Far from God. The alternative to divine possession is the demonic influence that can drag the heart down. Find that in John 13 verse 2 and Acts 5 verse 3. So what we see with regards to the heart, especially within the context of a hardened or a dull heart, this is formed by a response on God's message in one of two ways. I respond on God's message by either being tender, or I respond on God's message by being dull. And the outflow of that is either a heart that becomes more fleshly and maturing in Jesus, or a heart that becomes hard, dull, and stubborn. There are a few symptoms going along with the hardness and the dullness of heart. Look at these words. Obduracy. Blindness. Deafness. Before I go on, I also Googled that word. Obduracy. Do I say it right? Angela? Juffrou Angela? Listen to this definition of obduracy. Resoluteness by virtue of being unyielding and inflexible. A synonym. Unyieldingness. Listen to this. Firmness. Firmness of purpose. Resoluteness, resolution, resolve. A trait of being resolute, which means that you can, even by being firm and steadfast, doing what you think you're supposed to be doing, if that is misguided, you are hardening your heart and you are flowing from a place that God is not guiding. So by saying I'm firm, it's really important that we define with what? Standing in what? Standing firm in what? Being unyielding in what way? It made me almost think as, you know, when God says you will be persecuted for my name's sake, the enemy likes to keep the persecuted side because he likes to see us suffer. He wants to torment us and he wants to oppress us. So he wants us to keep that part of oppression, but then eliminating the part where he says for his name's sake. Because the moment we see Jesus, suffering feels different. Have you felt the difference? If you didn't feel the difference, specifically praying to that, I really feel there's someone here this morning that needs to hear that. When you are suffering, make sure that it's for his name's sake. If it's not for his name's sake, it's not from God. At the same time, in a number of passages, we see that God confirms a hard-hearted individual in that state by a further hardening. It's almost as if God gives him over to that. If we choose the hardening of our hearts frequently and often enough, if we do not define what we are yielding and standing for quickly enough, and just by standing firm think we are okay, there will maybe come a time where you feel, where's God now in this? I'm missing him. In scripture we see, and I don't know why I put this in here, maybe there's some of you that likes Hebrew. So when I prepared, I specifically felt that someone here would like to see that. To me personally, apart from the fact that I can't read Hebrew, it seems much the same. Make strong. Interesting that it's verbs. It's something that's happening. It's an active thing. It's not something that's been done to you. It's something that you do. You do it. I harden my heart. I hear a message and I yield to God in the sense that I perceive, I receive, I take it up and I follow. Or I hear a message from God and I harden my heart. Willfully. Make hard, make hard. Make strong, make hard dullness. Then we get some other words that was really hard for me to see. Stubbornness. So stubbornness here has everything to do with saying something verbally but living something differently in my secret life. It's called being stubborn, according to Scripture. Verbally affirm the oath of obedience to God, but secretly remaining in stubbornness. Stiff-necked. Stiff-necked, interesting. Yeah, the picture that's mentioned in Old Testament Scripture is unsubmissive, defiant, and it relates to a stubborn animal that will not accept the yoke of the master in order to work the land. I can imagine a farmer standing in a land trying to get that on a huge bull or something. I can imagine how that goes. Uncircumcision. Interesting. As soon as Deuteronomy 16, Moses was speaking to the Israelites, telling them, it's awesome that you're circumcised because of the covenant that we have with God, but your hearts are not circumcised. How often do we see as Christians how many people speak of a fair game, speak a lot aligned with Scripture, speak a lot about this is what I laid down for God, this is what I picked up for him, whatever, but in their hearts, it's not the same. A beast-like behavior. Have you ever seen someone with a hardened heart and thought to yourself, how can someone do that? Beast-like behavior. Listen to the definition in the Old Testament. It says, as an animal lacks spiritual perception, so the senseless person has no respect or consideration for God. Such a person is therefore brute and hates reproof. The New Testament describing of the hardness of heart, dull, uncircumcised, stiff-necked, without understanding. Matthew 19, verse 8, when he speaks about divorce, reference Old Testament saying, divorce was never the intention, but it had to be implemented because of the hardness of your heart. Unwillingness to yield to the Holy Spirit. Unwillingness to yield to reconciliation. And I know there's exceptions. Let's stick with Scripture. To become fat spiritually. The last part this morning, and then I really feel like praying. If we look at key passages in the New Testament, the parable of the sower. 3 out of 4 proved to be unresponsive and unfruitful. Because of their hearts. Because of the states of their hearts. Feeding of the 5,000, you see how Jesus said their hearts were hardened. They had an inability to grasp the deeper significance of the feeding of the 5,000. And we see in Scripture the God of this world causes blindness. In 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You know what really shook me in the preparation was, if we are not careful, and we do not trust the Holy Spirit to point out to us any hardness of our hearts, we will not be able to understand the true message of Jesus Christ. We will be standing and preaching directly from Scripture whatever we wanted to, and it will have no effect. And we would not have been the first people, because it happened before us. Can you think in what other way, apart from dullness, stubbornness, being a beast, being dull? Why else would so many saints and so many disciples and so many apostles be killed? The message of Jesus Christ. Be killed by bringing the true gospel to people. So many persecutions of the saints over the years. So many relationships we've seen crumbled, got hurt, and some failed. So many broken and hurt families. So many ministries and gifts that got smothered and never matured. Ultimately, Jesus was not recognized. And he was crucified. Because the hardness of our hearts is active, there is no stop to that. If we are not careful, we will not only not be able to build the church with him, we will not be able to see him building his church. We will not only be actively opposing him, we will be part of a system and a process, part of the work of the devil breaking down, causing hurt, causing division, disrupting, breaking down everything from an active point of view, not passive. Not I can see a lot's busy happening and I'm not part. I'm actively opposing the gospel message of Jesus Christ because of a hardness in my heart. So I asked the Lord from a place where I've surrendered to you, Jesus, what does that look like? And I saw almost a heart, fleshly heart, and I saw a side of the heart almost being cemented. And my initial prayer was, Lord, how do I change that? How do I have a heart of flesh? How do I have a soft heart? How do I have a heart that responds to your message well? And he said, it's not something you can do. It's something only I can do. Do you understand that we have the ability to harden our hearts, but we do not have the ability to soften it? We cannot be more Christ-like without Christ coming, breaking down cement parts of our hearts, giving us love, showing us love, and through the love that He gives, transform our hearts, transform our minds, and make us whole. Give us the ability to love like Him. Give us the ability to reconcile like Him. Give us the ability to have a gentle, soft heart that can receive the message of Jesus Christ, so that we can also, when we have the opportunity to share it, also be able to share it. If that does not happen, it will not be within our capacity. We cannot give that to ourselves. What does that look like for an unsaved person? An unsaved person has a hardened heart. Okay, can we understand this morning that if I have not surrendered my life to Jesus, that it's not possible for me to have the love of Jesus to give? Can I understand this morning that if I know an unsaved person, that it is really unfair of me to expect of them to show some characteristics of God if it's not there? Some of us need to set people free this morning. Some of us have held people to a standard that they are not willing. They can't. They can't forgive like Jesus forgave because they don't know Him. They can't love like Jesus loved because they never experienced that love. They've never surrendered to that love. They cannot serve you the way that Jesus served because they have not seen it modeled in their lives. It's literally impossible. It's not something you can mimic if you've not seen it. That work that God does in our lives, it's a gift. We read in Ezekiel 36, verse 26 to 27, "And I will give you a new heart." God speaking. "I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will put within you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." This morning, I believe that God has so many special things for us as a church family. And before we start sharing all of those special, loving, kind words of healing and restoration over us, He wants to heal our hearts. He wants to heal your heart this morning. You know with what reason your heart's hardened? You know whether you've been in a space where you maybe have never surrendered to God, never surrendered to Jesus? It's not something someone else can know. You can, from the outside, you can even be serving on a ministry team, but your heart might be far away. I can be standing up here and preaching, but my heart can be far away. Have you seen preachers that's not preaching from their heart? Have you seen people that's been 20, 30, 40 years in ministry not showing any characteristic of Jesus when they don't have the mic? Have you seen people in your context that speak about Jesus often, but apart from Jesus' name being in a sentence, there's no fruit? This morning, God is not saying, how can we properly assess and qualify or disqualify people around us? This morning, God is saying, I want to heal your heart so you can take hold, grab hold, and be transformed by every beautiful, prosperous, blessing word that I have in store for you. I want you to be able to walk in the gifts that I've made you for. I want you to stand up and respond to the Spirit in you as He reveals to you, as He gives you utterance. But you will never be able to do that if you hold on and cling to a hardening of your hearts, actively opposing the message and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't go together. I can't actively walk with Him and actively walk against Him at the same time. Do we agree on that? I'm going to hand over to Reno now, and I want us to just take a moment, and before we respond, I just want you to sit there and say, Holy Spirit, will you be so kind to come show me what is going on in my heart? Am I able to receive from you? Am I able to respond to you? Am I able to hear the words that you are speaking over me? Or have I hardened my heart to the extent that even if it hit me in the face, I won't know it? Let's close our eyes.